The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go wherever you are with that Odyssey app. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Jugs. Got the full crew back. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP on another Victory Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. Been talking about the game from all angles. Jaden played really well. 25 for 30.
Monster game.
Three touchdown passes.
I believe, I'm not a fantasy guy, Cakes, you are, but I just typed up fantasy leaders weekly.
Yeah.
And on CBS, he was the number one point getter.
That is correct. Yeah.
More than Russell Wilson?
Yeah, because he had the rushing.
He had the rushing.
And four total touchdowns.
Yep.
And I had Russell Wilson in one of my fantasy leagues, and he had a monster.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson had a monster.
But the rushing numbers gives him an extra, you know, through, I don't know, 10 points
or so. If he stays healthy, coming out of the bye, if he plays in all four games, he's going to finish with close to 30 total touchdowns.
Yeah, he's going to have 20 and 10.
As a rookie.
Which is what we said would be an unbelievable year if he did that.
Fantastic.
He played well. They got Terry involved early and often. He gets two touchdown passes. The running game goes for 267 yards. But they've got that little prickly issue. Let's talk to John Keim about it. John Keim covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. John, let's start with the kicking situation, because none of us noticed if they said anything about it after the game. What was said, if anything?
Okay, they rushed for 267. You guys want to start with kickers?
Yeah, I know, it's just annoying.
We're just stuck on it, John.
We're stuck on it.
We can't get past it.
And, you know, and it's funny because I do my podcast after the games, and I'm like, I finish, I'm like, oh, I forgot to talk about the kicking. So it is kind of important, because he was, Zane Gonzalez was not good. No, it did not come up at all, because it's, I mean, I think that's something that will come up today, because we get Dan Quinn again today. After the game, there were so many other things to talk about, and it kind of got lost, but I do think it's important, because you can't, one of the things that had been really good for Seibert until he got hurt was, and even Zane Gonzalez, when he came in after that, was solid. But yeah, no, that was bad yesterday, and, you know, but it did not come up. So we'll probably, Dan Quinn will probably get asked about it today. Listen, not good, right?
Yeah, but you cut a guy, like, how much, I don't know the answer to it, and my instinct would be, I would probably give him one more week, because he did build up a little bit of equity coming in, but, I don't know, Cakes wants to whack him and just find any other guy that could kick up 50.
He's kicked for like three games.
I know, but he has demonstrated that he can do it under pressure.
Right.
And some guys and come in and choke.
Listen, you have a bye week. I would certainly be looking at other guys, because one thing we've learned with this group is that they're not going to just sit there and say, okay, well, you're our kicker, let's go. I mean, there's a reason why Fedarian Mathis was inactive yesterday and Carl Davis was up. If they feel someone can be better, they're going to go find that guy. So I would look for that, but I don't know that, you know, I haven't checked to see – who's out there to see, is there actually somebody who has experience who might be better? I think
that's healthy.
I would probably go another game. That's healthy, right? And then, you know, the other thing is the next game is indoors, and that should help, right? You know, get optimum kicking conditions. Not like it was windy yesterday. So, and someone even told me, I think it was JP, was like, he wasn't very good in warmups either. So, I'd look at other guys because you have to. You can't. There's too much at stake to rest on guys who are inconsistent.
So let's get to the running game. They go for 267. I think it was the most they've had in a game since 2012.
That's a crazy
And that was
number.
Against the Tennessee Titans defense. Now, we had kind of looked inside the numbers, and they maybe weren't as impressive as some of their rankings. That said, the week before, they held Joe Mixon to 22 yards on 14 carries. And the week before that, Joe Mixon had gone off. So what was different in this game plan where they were able to run so effectively, which they hadn't been able to do the last 3 weeks?
Right. Well, first of all, again, and I think there is a difference between this defense and some of the ones they faced. Not Dallas's necessarily. Dallas's, that was a bad game. Yesterday, one of the things that seemed to be, you have T'Vondre Sweat and Jason Simmons inside. Big dudes, right? They were able to create movement off of that. And I think that helped. And like, they attacked the speed more than the size, if that makes sense. Like, they created cutback lanes. They didn't run right at them and try and overpower them. There was pulling action that got guys moving and stuff. So I think it was able to kind of use that strength, or use the size against them. And, they weren't, it's funny because I looked at their tackles afterward, and they actually had a decent number of tackles, those two, but they weren't really factors because of that. And like, even on Brian Robinson's touchdown, you have pulling action, the D tackles kind of move to the right a little bit, and then you pulling action come back the other way, gaps are created. And I think Brian Robinson was really patient and good vision, but there were holes there. And sometimes it was out of alignment and, creating wider gaps and lighter boxes. But I really think they neutralized the size up front by the action of the plays. And then it also helped, too, that Jaden Daniels could use his legs on the scrambles. That adds to it. And that was also in part because, and you saw that leading into the game, watching that defense against, like, Drake May, for example, another guy who can run, and how many scrambles he got that were very good. And I thought that Jaden would be able to get some of that to yesterday, and he did. And that it wasn't substantial to the total, but I think it helped continue to put them in good situations. And it also highlighted, like, there were times where they're just good cutback lanes. But again, they neutralized that size up front by kind of emphasizing different styles.
Yeah, can you remind me, because I can't remember anything, the difference in the offensive line personnel in terms of health from our last game to yesterday? Was it basically the same guys?
Basically, although, Cornelius Lucas was in there at right tackle, and Wiley had the concussion the last game, and Trent Scott went in.
Lucas
is just a better tackle,
but
he had been working primarily on the left side for a long time. So
they gave up on Scott, essentially.
Well, they also Lucas is better.
And of course, 100%, I agree.
But I think it was a lot too in the game. He hadn't worked there, so you put him in. But during the week, you have a chance to work him at right tackle, so you put Lucas in. And I think
that made a big difference.
Certainly helped. It did. But it's funny because I saw Nick Allegretti walking out of the locker room. I was like, man, you look like a lineman who needs a bye. Because those guys are. I mean, it's hard for that group. Mm-hmm. Like, they're getting beaten up or heads, whatever, for 14 straight or 13 straight weeks. So, like, I do think they're all dealing with something. And Biadasz has had, multiple things. And Allegretti has had his thing. So I think the bye week will help them. And Coleman has had his issues. It was primarily the same line. And they did a really good job. I mean, they were really good yesterday.
John, are we going to see an uptick from De'Ami Brown going forward? Because Noah Brown leaves with a hip injury. De'Ami had 4 grabs for 35 yesterday. Now he was, not the headliner. That's Terry McLaurin. But I liked what De'Ami did. I liked how they utilized him yesterday. I'm guessing his role might increase if Brown can't go against the Saints.
If Brown can't go, then, yeah, it would make sense. And he's done – Diami has been more productive, and partly because of, I think, how they use him too, like a lot on those screens. Those are tough runs, and he has no problems with that. And he has good size, so he can do that. I mean, he's a good blocker, so I think he offers you something. But yeah, I mean, as a receiver, it's just, you know, the biggest threat for him has been on those screens, and because he'll get those 7-8 tough yards that a lot of guys it's harder to get, but he's good with that. When they drafted him, I remember talking to somebody in the scouting department like before the season, and they felt like he would be good on some of those underneath things like slants, et cetera, because they felt like because of the size he had. And I think that benefits him on those routes. I mean, Brown is obviously a bigger threat. And I know that there have been some teams that said, like, that's the guy that they worry about because of his big play potential. But, yeah, if he can't go, then it makes sense that Diami would play more.
What a season Terry is compiling at this point. He's top 14 in receptions.
Yep.
He's third in the league in yards with 896, and he's tied for second with touchdowns, which has always been kind of his bugaboo. Yep. Didn't score a lot. Well, that's changing this year. I mean, if he plays in the last four games, which he's going to play in as long as he's healthy, he's going to have like 12 or 13 touchdowns this year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but he was terrific. He's been terrific. And yesterday, I know a lot has been made about him being on the left side, right, and predominantly on that side. And it has been a lot. I think coming into the game, it was like at least 75% of the time he's aligned there. But the difference yesterday was, first of all, I think the percentages were like 70% on the left side, like 15% on the right side. That's a lot for him. But not only that, it's just that they got him the ball on the other side too. So, and I know in talking to him, like it's not always – I think the one game that really impacted it where you're staying primarily on that side was the Philly game, because Philly clearly knew what to anticipate with him on that side. Not just the corners, but the underneath coverage. And that was a game where it's like you really needed to move him around. But they did yesterday. He was productive. He's very good. And it makes sense to involve him more. I think there's also an understanding by Jaden Daniels of what he means to the offense. And obviously sometimes, as Daniels would say, like the play goes away from him because the coverage dictates that a lot of times. But I do think that there's a good chemistry there, and I think it's still growing. But McLaurin's good. And the other thing is, too, like you bring up like the touchdowns, like, he's finally being used more in the red zone, it's not just looking for him. It's like, creating situations for him. And the one game where they took him away again was Philly, because they bracketed him pretty much every time down there. And why other teams don't do that more, I'm not sure, but he is highly effective because he wins on those contested catches. Like that slant route yesterday, not exactly wide open, and then the other touchdown was, a long developing play, give the O-line credit, give Daniels credit, the design of the play credit, but McLaurin runs it well. And so, he's effective.
The one thing, you mentioned the coverage, and there's two thoughts to it, and we all know it. It's nothing new. But, like, obviously other teams' number ones get bracketed. They still get targeted, and they find ways to get them open. That's just one point. But to your point, I did notice on that first play, we always say, why does it take a half to get Terry involved? They were playing off him. I was like,
correct.
I was like, well, that was a no-brainer.
Easy money. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think, And
every time they play off him, just throw it to his ass.
Yeah, for sure. Or you get one-on-ones on the outside, and that's a guy you're going to go to a lot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you do. And there are times in the red zone where they're playing him one-on-one, and he's going to typically win. And not just win, but I think there has to be a quarterback who's willing to throw it into a tight window, knowing you're going to win on that route, especially the slants. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Again, not many teams that I've seen have done what Philly did to him in the red zone. Now they have really good defensive backs, but still, and I think these guys have taken advantage of that. And will that happen more? But if it does start to happen more, that's when you have to move him around, even if it's not just lining, it might be lining him up the right, but you can motion him to the left if you want to get him a route out of that way too. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's credit to them for doing that more yesterday. It was enough to make it effective, and for sure.
The previous week they had lined him up on the right side six times. This week they did nine. So
yeah.
Season high, but only by a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, but and it was the production out of that, too, that was really good. And
yeah.
That, to me, was a big difference, not just lining him up there, but getting him the ball when he was on that side, too.
Listen, the whole town's in love with Jaden. I am the leader of, by the way, I'm the president of that fan club, Cakes, just so you know that. But one thing that I love about him, man, he looks like he's just having fun out there. Like he, yeah. You know, they knock him down, they sack him, he pats the other guy on the ass, or they nearly decapitate him, and he's laughing and joking with them. And maybe some people don't like that, but to me it just shows me this guy's, like, comfort in his own skin. Beyond the talent, like, I'm telling you, this kid's got it all. He doesn't play perfect. He makes mistakes, and he's going to get better. But I just love all the attributes that he has.
Well, I think that's why I felt like he would be really good, because it's not just what you see. We've seen guys who are talented quarterbacks here and in this league. But to me, what has always stood out with him is what you hear behind mm-hmm. the scenes. And a lot of it, there's that. Like, I remember talking to Herm Edwards about this. He's like, he comes off after throwing an interception, he's got a smile on his face. Not because he's happy he's doing an interception, mm-hmm. but he's like, that's okay, coach, I'm getting him back next time. You know, like, I think, you know, he loves the process of getting better.
He loves to compete.
And I was just going to say, the competition stuff drives that guy. Like, and it's with everything. Like, you know, Charlie Mulay is a Mets fan, one of the PR standout PR guys here, but he's a big Mets fan. There are very few days where I don't see Jaden walk by him mentioning that the Dodgers won the World Series and that the Mets, as he says, suck. So like it's in everything. It's during practice, like watching him when they throw the balls into the net or into the, you know, garbage cans, whatever. The way he reacts after he makes it, the way he razzes other guys or gets, you know, with Hartman and et cetera. Like it's all the time with him, and that's. But the guys who love competition typically get a lot better, and that's who he is. So but to your point, like he loves all of it. And it's why I have thought he would be really good, because if you know, guys like that with that talent could do very well.
JK, all right. Real quick. So late bye week, but they certainly need it.
Yeah.
And how are you feeling right now? Currently they're the 7 seed. They're the last wild card. Fairly comfortable lead in that particular slot, because there's no other team besides Seattle that has 7 wins, and Seattle's leading their division. So the teams that are kind of behind them have 6 wins, and they're going to play Atlanta. They've already beaten Arizona, so they've got some head-to-heads there. Just kind of how you feeling? If they win 2, are you feeling pretty good about, you know, locking up that 7 slot?
I would, yes, for sure. The question is what Tampa Bay does, because they have that tiebreaker. And, and if they win 10 games, these guys win 10 games, and if unless Tampa wins the division, right? So, like, that's where it gets – that's the one team where it's like, that might be their one to watch. And that is, they don't have the hardest schedule.
No, they don't.
To finish up.
Their toughest game's probably at the Chargers.
Yeah, and I think, like, they could have Carolina again, the Saints. So it's not
Carolina, Raiders. The Raiders at home.
Yeah. But I think if this team gets to 10 games, I think they're in obviously great shape. And that would be a tremendous first season for this group, given what everybody would have thought it would be in training camp. Mm-hmm. I think 10 wins would – I feel really good about them getting 10 wins. 11, you're sealed there for sure.
Right.
10, I think you're, most likely in. And the other key is, too, you know, the Saints and the Falcons games are huge because they're conference games, so more tiebreaker opportunities.
Yeah.
The rest of them are all NFC games, so all of them. But those in, you know, especially Atlanta, for sure. But yeah, 10 I would feel really good about. And it's funny because, like, after last week, you wonder, like, will they get to 10? And after yesterday, like, they'll get to 10. So who the hell knows? But I feel pretty good about it. I think the other key is, too, getting this late bye week, it really, when you look at the beginning of the season, it kind of sucks. But I think when you look at it now, like, they're in pretty good shape physically.
Yeah.
And you now have a chance to rest for the final stretch. And that's a good thing for them to have at this point.
John, got to run. Always great talking to you.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Thank John Keim covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. All right. The Commanders got back on the winning track.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stink of Truth podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stink of Truth podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think they found the formula to success, or did they just beat up on a bad team that's 3-8?
Well, all I heard was how scary they are in their defense. I don't like that.
We'll tackle that next. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. How are you feeling after another Victory Monday? Brought to you by Chenega Miles, 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.